Welcome to the Jazz Notes Podcast. I am your host, James Stratton, and I'm going to discuss the game between the Milwaukee Bucks, who are 16-9, and the Utah Jazz, who are 20-5. This is kind of the game that kind of got the Jazz started on their little runs. We lost to the Nets and Knicks back to back, and it was seemed pretty hopeless at the point because the Nets game was just a complete dominating performance for Kyrie Irving, and it seemed like we couldn't answer anything that was going on in that game. And then the Knicks game just started off really great, and then we just imploded on ourselves. And so there's a lot of fair criticism on the team. I know I for sure had my fair criticism on the team. If you go back to that Knicks podcast where I got extremely mad, mainly because they lost that game. There's no other way to put it. But I mean, they've definitely turned it around. They really started with that Milwaukee's Bucks game, and I think that really instilled the confidence of, hey, as long as we work as a team, as long as we, you know, commit to our strategies on defense and on offense, we can beat any team in the league. You know, Milwaukee Bucks has been a very, very good season team the last few games. Yes, they've struggled in the playoffs, and that's always the answer. You know, just because a team does very well in the season doesn't mean it translates into the postseason. That's fine. I mean, I don't think anybody's arguing that. I mean, Milwaukee's had their struggles the past few years. And also, I mean, you look at the Dallas Mavericks, who had the best league record, 2006-2007, and they lost in the first round to the Warriors. Not the Seth Curry Warriors, because he wasn't in yet, but yeah, I mean, now we're just getting way too in the future right now. But as far as the season team, I mean, we have done very well so far, and I can't, you know, be any more happy than I am now. And yeah, I'm very happy. Anyways, let's get into the game. Conley is out again, but good news is that he is practicing. He didn't practice the full practice session. I guess I can say practice one more time. But from what was reported, he didn't really play the whole time, but it's good to see him back on the court, really stretching out that hammy. And hopefully we see him on the floor soon. I don't see him, if he was just doing a limited practice, it's probably not going to play tomorrow's game. So if he does, it's just proving me wrong, and I hope he does. So let's get started. O'Neal is pretty impressive so far on Giannis, really defending him well, making him not get into the lane that he wants. That first game against us, he was like driving every single time and getting an one. I think like every single time he went in, he was getting an and one, and he is not getting to the spots on the floor that we have given him in the past. And O'Neal's doing a very good job so far. Milwaukee is playing very well on defense too. They're making the Jazz work really hard on the offensive end. They're passing the ball a lot, and they're closing out on the open players, and the Jazz just can't really get the shot that they want so far. Joe is just balling early now. He makes three straight threes, and then right after he gets a great assist to Rudy Gobert, ending it with him posterizing on Giannis, and then he makes his fourth three. Joe starts hot at first, and then now he sits on the bench first. And I just don't get that. I don't get it. You have a hot hand. I don't get why Joe Ingles isn't still on the floor right now. And just like the Knicks did that when Rivers was really, really hot going into the end of the second quarter, Doc Rivers pulls him out. I keep on thinking he plays for his dad. But and Tom Thibodeau pulls him out and just sits him, and it just didn't make any sense. He was just super, super hot into this game. So halfway through the first quarter, the Jazz are up 16-15, and it's a back and forth game early. There's no real advantage so far. Royce O'Neal and Favors are doing a good job kind of switching off on Giannis and holding him only to 2 points so far in this first quarter when he goes and sits down. And the Jazz get three straight threes from Clarkson and Niang and starting to build a little lead. And then right before the quarter ends, the Bucks do climb back in. After one, the Jazz are up 35 to 31. All right. sorry, I had to get my kid a drink real quick. So now that's like one of the first times I've ever paused during a podcast to go do something. So she was screaming upstairs to hear a drink. I don't know if y'all heard or get her a drink and don't know if y'all heard her, but all right. Anyways, getting to the second quarter. Rudy is really handling himself on the offensive end, and it's really odd to see Favors on Gobert on the floor together. The last time they did this, I believe it was with Milwaukee as well. So, I mean, I guess Quinn Snyder sees something that he likes whenever they play together on the same floor, and it does make sense with Brook Lopez and Giannis playing on the court at the same time, really getting the height in there as well. Halfway through, or sorry, Clarkson. Clarkson is just great early this game, especially in the lane. He's somehow making these insane like circus shots. There's one where he just like pauses on his pivot foot, like driving really fast and gets Giannis up in the air and then makes his shot. And halfway through this quarter, the Jazz are up 48 to 38, so they get it up to 10 now. Jazz spacing very good so far this stretch. They're constantly finding the open man. Defensive end is great as well, making Milwaukee take contested shots almost every single time, with Giannis actually passing more than shooting at this part of the game. The Jazz keep leaving Lopez alone behind the arc. I don't think there's really that much extra help needed from the bigs. So whenever the players are driving into the lane, I don't think we need to draw those extra bigs into the lane. And I mean, and at this point, it's really Giannis on the bench as well. So I think just stay on Lopez, make him work for his shots. But every shot he seems to be hitting, he's wide open. Jazz continue the unselfishness on the offensive end, and they're now connecting whenever they find the open man. Middleton is now very frustrated. He's complaining about how the Jazz are lining up at the free throws, and he's yelling at the refs to tell him to hurry up. And I think he was just so concentrated on what the Jazz were doing, it causes him to miss. And then on the other side of the court, Donovan Mitchell gets fouled at the three-pointer, and he starts trying to trash talk to Donovan when he's doing his free throws, and they're doing what the Jazz did once. By moving back and forth between each and every free throw, and you know, Donovan wasn't fazed, and he was 3 for 3 on that foul trip, and I think that frustrated Milton even more. Jazz are up at the halftime 69 to 52, so very, very good quarter from them, scoring 34 points and only allowing 21. Third quarter was kind of like a boring quarter. I really don't have that much notes. The Bucks are trying to get Giannis started early. He's being a lot more aggressive so far, and the Jazz keep finding the open man on the pass out, but right now a lot of them aren't dropping just yet. The Bucks are staying pretty aggressive so far in the quarter, and the Jazz defense is just smothering the Bucks on their side end. So it's just a very aggressive quarter by both teams. The Jazz get really sloppy at the end of this quarter, with the Bucks really capitalizing on their mistakes to kind of climb back into the game a little bit. The Jazz go into the fourth up 96 to 82. We allow 27 points and we score 30. And let's get into the last quarter. The Jazz need to buckle down again right now. We just can't let the Bucks get into this game. It kind of felt like the momentum shifted on the Bucks getting into this fourth quarter. The Mitchell's court vision is improved vastly during this stretch. He is searching at times for the open man. He's not really pushing that contested layup at times. I mean, he still is because that's his game, but a lot of times I think he knows where the open man is before he even drives, and right when everybody collapses on him, he kicks open to him. And I mean, at this point, it just feels like it has to be Mitchell time. He has been way too silent on this game and the scoring end so far. And halfway through this quarter, the Jazz are up 110-94. The Bucks got in with, I believe, 12 at one point, or 10. I think they got in within 10. Gobert is just dominant overall this game. He's generating like a command on both ends of the court. So he's really just really impactful on the defensive and offensive sides. So just a very overall great game, not a good game from Gobert. The Jazz are very good at closing out their games thus far this season. They have figured out the final pace and can take complete advantage at the end of the game with complete control. So at times it feels like, oh man, they don't have this. And just out of nowhere, they'll just turn on the lighter and just really smoke them. They did it last game with the Boston Celtics, and they're doing it this game as well. Joe Ingles, right before the game ends, he had 22 points. He hits a three-pointer, a big three-pointer that really kind of sealed the game. And then they get the offensive rebound, and Joe gets it, and he gets two free throws, and he hits them both. And there's like 20 seconds left or like 30 seconds left into the game. And he tied his career high of 27 points for the sixth time. The dude just can't break that record at all. And the Jazz win 129-115. They have now the best start in franchise history with their 21-6 start. And it's only the eighth time in NBA history where four players score 25 points or more in one game. We had Ingles scoring 27. We had Gobert scoring 27. Donovan scored 26. And I think he scored 26. And Clarkson scored 25 points. So just overall, a very well-distributed game. I mean, just those four players score over 100 points, so really they're the main rock and anchor this whole entire game. There's points where, you know, Derek Favors really came in big. So it was really good to see this kind of, Jazz basketball. That's all we've been seeing so far in this little run. So let's get into the game stats. We hit 52% of our field goals, so that's really good. 37%. On our three-pointers, we started off pretty well, too. So it's kind of disappointing to see them below that 40% mark, but we'll take it. We definitely out-rebounded the Bucks, 46-33. I think we only allowed 8 offensive boards, so we definitely stopped second opportunities this game. 22 assists on 43 field goals. That's kind of odd. That's the first time I think we hit around 50%. We hit above 50%, we get 51%, so this is the second time where we've won the game with that mark. And 17 turnovers, so definitely the turnover bug did hit us at times. It was offensive fouls, others was just dumb mistakes like accidentally stepping out of bounds when being contested. So overall, just, you know, very good statistical game from the Jazz. Now let's get into my little theories that I like to do. I mean, that's one of mine, was keeping the team above 50% field goals, 40% three-pointers, out-rebounding, and staying around 60% on the assist-to-field-goal ratios while limiting 12 or less turnovers. And then my final one is, I've harped on it a long time, keeping teams under 25 points each quarter. And I kind of have this roadmap, and I have to update it because my computer decided to update without asking me, and then it deleted all my notes that I had. So after this, I'm going to actually save it so it doesn't delete it from me again. But this game, we allowed over 25 points in every single quarter. So going in the second, over 25, we're now 8-3. Going to halftime, when opponents score over 50, we're now 8-4. And whenever they go into the fourth quarter with over 75 points, We're 11-5, and whenever a team scores over 100 with us, we're 13-5 now. So very good stats, especially with us just continuing to stay on this winning pedigree. Gonna keep make these, really not look like they're important, but when if you know when it first start for or the game first started, we're like 2-4 whenever a team scored over 58 points, but going into halftime. So it's really good to see us really hammering it down as far as whenever teams are scoring those points and getting those baskets in, that we're able to respond as well on the offensive end. Now let's go into our notes of the game, with our F note being the worst, A, B, C note being the best, with of course A note being the best. It's kind of like math, right? F note, I'm giving it to Bojan Bogdanovic. He doesn't deserve like F note in any other day, but really, just the team score. The team played really well. The team really, really played well. I mean, you can argue that Royce O'Neal could get it, but just the way he guarded Giannis all game, he did his job. It was his job. That's what was expected of him. Bojan, it didn't really happen. He was 9 points on 3-10 shooting. He still got his stats in though. He got 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. He had 2 turnovers, which wasn't the end of the world. But his plus minus margin, he was still plus 18. He didn't really deserve it. I mean, there's no other player really to point fingers on. I mean, Niang was just amazing this game. He only scored 14 point or four or played 14 minutes, but he really had his impact on the game. And then Oni just didn't really play that many minutes to really. I'm not gonna give an F note to a guy who only plays like 4 minutes. That's not fair. So, out of everyone who played, I can really only give it to Bogey. I mean, Favors and O'Neal were just so great on Giannis this game. I just have to give it to Bogey because of what we expected from him didn't happen, and that's what such gr This is what's such great, man. I can't talk right now. This is what is so good about this team. Well, not what's such good. What is so good about this team is that when our plan doesn't fully hit, we're still winning games. Like when we know what each player's role is, and it doesn't happen for every single player, we still find a way to win the games. People are stepping up at the times that are needed, especially with Conley out. We are undefeated whenever we have a key player out of a game, which is crazy. I think we're 9-0 and 10 or 10-0 or something, because Mitchell's missed a few games, Ingles missed a few games, and now Conley's missed a few games. So it's really good to see this going on for our Utah Jazz. Let's get into the C note. Jordan Clarkson with 25 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 1 steal. Just really on, you could tell that Boston game was in his mind because he was really pressing it in the beginning. Be noted, the game is Joe Ingles, 27 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, and just on fire at the 3-point line. I think he hit his first 5 out of 5 or 4 out of 4. It was 4 out of 4, and then they pulled him. I'm like, why did they pull him? I mean, he was hot. And then the A note of the game was Rudy Gobert. He scores 27 points, 12 rebounds, and he has 4 blocks. I think he had actually one more block, but they counted it as a Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't even know why I tried to say it. I tried this whole freaking podcast not to say it, and then I tried it. Anyways, I think he had 5 because I think he blocked Giannis. But it happened to go into his player's hand right behind him, and he shoots and makes the 3, and they count it as a Giannis assist. So I don't know what was going on. Maybe they'll look into it and adjust the stats. I doubt they will. That's pretty much it for the podcast. We can get into the scores of the game. I don't really want to because none of it's really good news for the Jazz. The Nuggets win. I don't think there has been much movement as far as Eastern Western Conference goes, but hey, let's stay consistent, and let's see. The Lakers game just ended sadly because I don't like the result. So the Hornets beat the Timberwolves 120 to 114. The Knicks beat the Wizards. It's just the Wizards. I don't even think Beal played that game. I think they're sitting him. So seeing if they can play without Beal, I think they're trying to debate whether or not they can trade him. It's not Beal. It's not Beal. Bale's not the problem over there. there's other things going on over there, right? Spurs beat the Hawks 125 to 114. Mavericks beat the Pelicans 143-130 on a very high-scoring event. So, I mean, both teams are struggling early, so maybe they found something this game, both of them, because they both scored pretty high. Clippers beat the Bulls to stay on our tails, 125-106. Pistons surprised the Celtics, 108-102. Celtics are just not having a good stretch. I believe, let's get into it, their last 10 games, yeah, they're 4-6. And that's not really good to get up in there. The Nuggets beat the Thunder 97-95. The Thunder were in like a commanding lead early into the game going into the half. So Nuggets did come back and win that one. The Lakers just finished their game with the Grizzlies, winning 115-105 to stay a half game behind us. Trailblazers 129-110 over the Cavaliers. And the Magic beat the Kings 123-112. I mean, the Kings went on this hot streak and now all of a sudden they're just cold again. Standings, as far as that goes, nothing has really changed since last podcast, really, as far as like the top four in each conference. It's still Philly, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, Boston, with Indiana, Charlotte, Toronto, and New York behind them. Charlotte actually did jump up a little bit, but that's because, let's see here, Charlotte, Toronto, New York, Miami, Atlanta, they're all within a game of each other, so any win or loss can severely move that ranking from pretty much 6 to 10. So let's get in the Western Conference. The Jazz are number one.
Number one.
Not number two or three, right? Anyways, I think that might be getting old, right? Or you might be expecting it. I don't really know. Then the Lakers are right behind it at 21-6. We just can't shake them right now. The Clippers are now 19-8. They lost a game a couple games ago, so we, you know, kind of broke away from there. So really leading the pack in this Western Conference is Utah, Lakers, Clippers. And then the middle of the pack, you have Phoenix and Portland, San Antonio and Denver and Golden State are within two games of each other. And then Golden State two games behind Phoenix. And then the bottom of the pack really goes Dallas, Sacramento, Memphis, New Orleans, Houston, and OKC. And they're all within two games of each other as well. So you kind of have these three tiers of people who are two games within each other. And then you have the poor old lonely Minnesota Timberwolves that we had to lose to that are 15 games behind us. Man, why did we lose to them? We always have troubles with the Timberwolves. They're always annoying us. Just like the Clippers. I mean, even when the Clippers weren't good back, you know, in the early 2000s or late 90s, they're still beating the Jazz. So it's just one of those teams that they just have our number or whatnot. Anyways, so I'm off rambling again. Tomorrow we are going to stay home. And we're going to welcome the Miami Heat, who have are on a four-game winning streak. Let me double-check that. Yeah, they're on a four-game winning streak. Jimmy Butler's back. They're probably figuring things out. So we're playing a Heat team that is certainly rising, so it's definitely not a sleeper game, even though you look at that record and like, oh, they're 11-14. That'll be easy. It's not going to be an easy game. Anytime you face Jimmy Butler, it's not going to be an easy game. But luckily, we have a small forward to match up with him with Royce O'Neal, especially seeing him after tonight. And, the Lakers don't play tomorrow, so we can pull a full game ahead of them. Or if we lose, we'll tie them. So hopefully, we do get that win. And then the Lakers don't play again. They play the Nuggets, so that could be... Either way, that's good news for us. If the Lakers lose, we gain. If the Nuggets lose, we gain on the conference or the division standings point, which right now I think we're 6.5 games ahead of Portland. No, we're 5.5 games ahead of Portland right now for the lead of the Northwest Division. That's what I wanted. That was like a big goal that I thought the team would have, is winning the division. But certainly in the spot right now, I can definitely see that conference is the, let's win the conference is the big goal, and have home court advantage throughout. That would be big, especially if we can get a full or even 50% of the capacity of the stadium in by that time, playoff time. So, yeah, so listen, or thanks for listening to the podcast. Drop a review, like on Instagram, the Jazz Notes, all one word. Follow me there, because pretty soon I'm going to be doing a 50 episode. I don't even know how many episodes I'm in now. I think I'm getting there to 50. I'll probably do a 50 episode celebration where we just talk about, you know, I'll probably do the future, what the rest of the season would look like for the Jazz. I know we don't have that second half release yet. We're probably going to have one extra game unless they shove the Wizards in there at one point, which they did to the Hornets, I believe. The Hornets ended up canceling a game with, I think, the Suns or someone, and they had to cancel the game, so they just went to Washington instead and played Wizards like pretty much last minute. So I can see that happening to us, just get them throwing an extra game at the very end of the half or whatnot. I haven't heard much more about the All-Star game. Maybe they heard my rant, probably not, but you know, I haven't heard much about the All-Star game. I'd be very surprised, especially with as many people vocaling that they don't want a game. I know some people who will probably have an All-Star bid the first time are advocating for it, or, you know, a second or third time advocating for it. And I get it. I mean, I can see it, but as far as the NBA goes and how hard stance they are on everything COVID right now, it's probably smarter to not take a hypocritical stance, and I think it is very hypocritical. We're limiting contact, you know, after games. We're getting arena security involved to make sure that teams don't say hi to each other or bye, technically, at the end of the game. Or even before the games, I've seen a couple of videos where they stop, you know, them from shaking hands, even though they're going to be, you know, pretty much tackling each other for the next 60 minutes of a basketball game, so, or 48, technically. I'm still in the football mind, right? But, yeah, I mean, some hypocrisy, man, I can't talk right now, I'm so tired, would be kind of called out on it, so, but we'll see what they do. I'm going to save my notes this time, that way I don't have to go through every single game again and mark over 25 under 25, because that took a while. I did it throughout all of halftime, and by the time I was done, halftime was over, so it wasn't too fun. So anyways, I keep rambling. I thought this one was going to be fast too. Now we're at 28 minutes. Dang it. So anyways, thanks for listening, and as always, go Jazz!